It was a box office champion, and it is between 90 and 120 minutes long. That's all we know about the movie we're talking about this time, because we haven't drawn it yet. We're here live at Row House Cinema for the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
That was fantastic audience participation. Thank you all very much for that.
Great job. Thank you. And thank you so much for being here. My name's Sean Collier. This is the number one movie in America. I am here with two chimney sweeps with a lot of time on their hands. It's Camila Adams.
G'day.
And Robin Hitchcock.
Votes for women!
At that point in the show, I referred to the last episode that we recorded, which was about Mary Poppins. I loved
it
Mary
Poppins.
It turns out
there is something about Mary.
Yes.
Because Sean was all about it.
I am more emotional lately. I cried at Cirque du Soleil last week. Daddy. I don't know. Thank you. Thank you for saying aw. No, we liked it a lot. It got a high rating. I forgot to look up what that number was. So let's get to today's business. We're doing a live show, everybody. Cheer again. Thank you all so much for being here. This podcast and its direct predecessor, the show called You Can't Handle the Truth that I did with Aaron Kleiber, has a long history of not having great live events. We showed Deathbed, the bed that eats people, and nobody showed up. They showed up. Those two were there.
Thank you.
And that was about it. We did an ill-conceived week here where we showed movies that we called overrated and people believed us and didn't show up. So this is great.
Yeah. Yes. I am in awe, and I appreciate all of you for coming in and warming these seats with your bums. Thank you. Thank you so much. Because this is our first live.
This is our first live event, and we do want to take a moment to acknowledge the Nomia Wags, the number one movie in America, wives and girlfriends, by which we mean Sean's partner, Mary Beth.
She's up there. Hi, Mary Beth.
Hi, Mary Beth.
And Camila and my husbands, respectively, Dan and Colin.
Hello, Dan.
Yeah.
They have watched so many of these movies with us.
By proxy?
Yes. So thank you so much for everything you do for us, both for the podcast and also just in our lives.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Clap for our partners, everybody. There we go.
We also have former guests of the show, Jim Kiley and Bill Fisher, in the audience. Yeah. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
About to add?
Yeah, selfishly, I'm going to add that thank you guys and your partners, Mary Beth and Colin, for they footed the bill for our babysitter for tonight. So Dan and I could have a night out together. So thank you guys.
And shout out to Kaj also, who has watched several of these movies.
Yes, shout out to my little girl, Kajia.
Apparently, if you have a child, you have to care for them. Like all the time. So,
all right, let's
shout
get
out to
Kush. The movies that we might show.
And we should say thank you very much to Row House
of
Cinema.
Course. Yes.
Give it up for Row House. Approached us about doing a week and the themed around the podcast and themed around number one movies in America. We so appreciate not only Row House for inviting us, but Katie and everyone else who worked hard. Katie worked very hard because you don't realize they have to prepare a movie to be shown, and we have 11 potential movies that might be shown. So she had to prepare 11 movies to show one of them.
Thanks, Katie.
Thank you.
At one point, they were like, can we do fake it? Can we draw it beforehand so we know what it is? And we were all like, no.
Tony Goldwyn would not approve.
That would violate the spirit of this podcast. So one more time for Row House Cinema and everyone here for making it happen.
Yeah, and guys, make sure you tell them how much fun you're having at these events, so they'll ask us to come back again.
Yes.
Well, this will be great. At least an annual thing. So here's a wheel. If you haven't figured it out yet, it's a mystery movie tonight. This is a wheel of movies, and we're going to spin it and show one of them. And before we do that, let's tell you what's on the wheel. We could watch Bullet with Steve McQueen. I think that was my pick.
It was.
I don't remember why. I just haven't seen it and feel like that'd be a good time. Everyone kind of went, ooh, so I'm going to...
Yeah, that seems right.
We've got The Fly. The Fly is on the wheel.
Did I pick that?
You sure did.
I did. And that's a good time. Jeff Goldblum. Who doesn't like to watch Jeff Goldblum get all creepy and whatnot?
I've seen The Fly as a mystery movie here.
Whoa!
On one of the Jeff Goldblum days. And Brian Mendelsohn, the founder of Row House Cinema, came up to do the introduction, and he had not prepared one key bit of it, because he said, it could be anything. It could be Jurassic Park. It could be The Fly. And then he couldn't think of another Jeff Goldblum movie, and went, it could be anything. So I was like, I'm pretty sure it's either Jurassic Park.
Who could think of another Jeff Goldblum movie? Thank you, Buckaroo Banzai's Adventures Across the Eighth Dimension.
I was hoping for Earth Girls Are Easy on that night. We've got Blade. Blade is on there.
Yes, I totally picked Blade because it's Blade. Like,
yeah.
Why wouldn't I have not?
Spinner's choice. Only one of us is going to spin, and if it lands on that, we pick. Just
unless we get a respin.
Unless we get a we'll figure it out.
Yep.
The Crow is on the list.
Is that mine too?
Yeah, it was. And yikes.
Who wants to get sad and heavy? That's...
It can't rain all the time, Sean.
Or the opposite, a bit of our childhoods. The Lion King is on the list. Who did you pick that?
I sure did.
That's the animated, right?
This is the animated one, right? Okay. Great.
Yeah.
I had a moment of fear coming in.
I mean, like, just to be clear, they're both animated.
Right.
Yeah.
The traditionally animated one.
Lion King 1994.
There's a respin space. There is Flashdance, everybody. A little.
That was
Pittsburgh
my pick,
flair.
Too. And that was a late pick for me, which we'll get to.
Okay. Oh, Training Day is on here.
I guess that's me, as you guys are looking at me.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, so. That feels right. Yeah.
A movie I've been wanting to rewatch, so I will not be sad if we land on
that. Well, also, I mean, we needed some color happening.
Happy Black History Month!
Just to keep it real.
So, and that will be Blade and Training Day. Yeah. That is the opposite of Training Day, The Running Man with Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's an option. That was one of my picks. It's just colorful, and the guy from Family Feud is great.
I've never seen it.
What's his name?
Whoa, it's so good. It's so good.
Richard Dawson. Not a guy from Family Feud. Not Steve Harvey. Not Ray
Drew
Combs.
No.
The guy from Family Feud. The Truman Show is on the list.
That was my pick. One of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah.
Really?
It's really good.
I didn't know
also,
it was...
Also, it came out when I was just getting into movies. You know how it goes.
Yeah, that thing. Another one of Robin's picks. Star Trek IV.
The Voyage Home. Because whales and space together having a moment.
Yeah.
With Avatar 2, The Way of Water.
Who saw Avatar 2?
A very muted response.
For the fourth biggest film of all time.
I was like,
There are space whales in it. Leave it at that. And Creepshow. Creepshow is on the list.
The one I really hope we don't land on.
It's not...
Okay, let's move
you
on.
Can... All right. And finally, audience choice. I haven't really figured out how we're going to...
I don't know. Maybe an applause meter. We'll figure it out.
Adjudicate that. You'll watch one of those movies. I want to hear from two people. Raise your hand if you like talking in public. There you go. Sir, what are you cheering for?
Truman Show. He said
Truman Show for the podcast audience. Why?
Funny.
It is a funny movie.
It's a thinker.
Yeah.
And a thinker.
You'll laugh and you'll think. Good choices. What do you hope it is?
Crow.
Yes.
Wow.
This is my dude right here.
Why the Crow?
Because Dwight Schrute cites it as his favorite movie during the fire.
That is the best justification for wanting to watch someone get murdered.
Absolutely.
The shot of the murder isn't... That's not in the film.
Okay, all right. We'll talk about it more if we land on it.
One more. A female, please. Yes, there you are. What are you hoping for? What's that?
Lion King.
Yes!
Yeah, Lion King. Why?
Favorite movie of my childhood.
Of course.
And also Scar song is a
slap. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That slaps.
Which is what the worst thing in the live action in aggressive air quotes remake.
That's what
and
I hear.
Also they like make it not campy. It's the
I
worst.
Know,
Straight but... Scar is the worst. I will say The Lion King, speaking of box office success, the first movie I waited around the block to see.
Oh.
Yes.
I don't know if I've ever done that.
I have never done that.
I've always thought, this will still be here in a few days. I'll come back.
I was 10.
That's fair.
Yeah.
All right. What? Explain odds and evens. We're figuring out which one of us spins the wheel.
If you have three people and you need to do kind of rock, paper, scissors, you do it odds and evens. Everyone in the circle throws out either one finger or two fingers, and the person who has a different number...
Yeah.
Is the spinner.
Okay.
Ready? So, and okay. We go odds and evens, say shoot, and then you shoot. Ready?
Okay. You shoot on shoot.
Yep. All odds right. and evens, say shoot.
Say shoot. It was supposed to be one or two.
But that's yeah, they're
what?
All odd.
I don't understand this game.
They're all odd, so either odd or even.
Oh, odd.
One or
a one or a two.
One or two.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Ready? Ready?
All right. Odds and evens, say shoot. It's Camila.
It's Camila.
Camila will spin, everybody. I'm holding it down. Give it okay. Give it some oomph, or it won't go far.
Ooh.
That's oomph. It's Flash Dance, everybody.
That's a good one.
Pittsburgh classic.
Stayed in Pittsburgh. There are so many goddamn montages in this film.
Also, I said this was a late choice because Camila and I both picked Blade.
Yeah, that's right.
And so I had to, and like, last minute because Roadhouse was like, we need your choices. And I was like,
I've seen this once.
Me too.
Here, in fact. I forget. Mary Beth, what week was happening that we saw Flashdance? It was 80s or dance movies or made
warmers.
In Pittsburgh or... No, I saw it here. I will reveal this. On the drive home, I said, okay, if we get engagement pictures, we need to get Flashdance-themed engagement pictures.
Dude! And you have all heard it here.
I know.
And it's been recorded for posterity. I am holding you to that personally.
At a future version of this event, we'll put them up on the thing. Isn't that...
That sounds like a promise! Sorry, I'm being nebby.
Here's the moment to look for in this film. Speaking as a Pittsburgher and an occasional stand-up comedian, there will be a scene where a stand-up comedian is on stage and is doing very, very badly. And then he says, basically, how about them Steelers? And suddenly the crowd all likes him. This is very true to life. This is how things go. Any feelings on Flashdance, Camila?
I've seen it once, and it was when... Right before I moved to Pittsburgh, when I was on my quest to watch all of the movies that were
same, which we also discussed in our Stigmata episode.
Oh, that's
yes.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, I don't have any harsh feelings about it. It's fun. It's a cute thing.
I just want to shout out the moment she takes her bra off without taking off her shirt.
Right. And yes. And we could all do that, right?
I mean, if you haven't, watch carefully because it is a solid move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Seriously though, is this not a common thing? Like this is women do not
people
know.
With
like,
breasts.
Everyone does not know how.
Have
to
you
just
done it?
Take it off and throw it in the sleeve. Yes.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Well,
I want to hear somebody who likes to talk publicly and is willing to walk down a flight of stairs, who has a strong reaction either way to Flashdance being drawn. You'll get a pin out of it. I don't. Yeah.
Like either you're really mad or you're really awesome. You really love it.
Who wants to come react?
Oh, get down
we
here.
I want to talk to you, sir.
Hi, what's your name?
My name is Joe.
This is
My
Joe,
name
everybody.
Is Joe.
Hi, Joe. Thank you so much for being here. All
oh, right, this take, is very cool.
Take this mic and tell us what you just told us on your way down the stairs.
Okay. when I was in high school, the girl I went to the prom with, who was a very good friend of mine, was taking ballet lessons at the PBT. And she was asked to participate in the movie. So I can say
amazing.
Anastasia Watchko.
Right.
Shout out to Anastasia.
When she pops up on screen, will you please give us a little whoop?
I will do that.
All right.
Excellent.
Thank you so much for being here. here.
Thank you.
So, after the movie, we are going to continue the podcast downstairs in Beerport. We need to get out of here so they can show Raiders of the Lost Ark. Raiders of the Lost Ark, which is also a great way to spend. We will not fault you if instead you walk out there, buy a ticket, and come back in and see Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Because that podcast also will exist on the internet, you know.
Right, exactly. Yes. If you would like to, we would love to have you downstairs at Beerport. We're going to talk about the movie, tell you about its box office, if I look that up in a timely fashion, and to continue this episode and wrap up this show. In the meantime, thank you all for being here once again. Please subscribe to our podcast if you don't. It's called The Number One Movie in America. It is on Spotify. It is on iHeart. It is on Apple. It is everywhere like podcasts
are. All the places you get your podcasts.
Yeah, yes. It's not hard to find. And enjoy Flashdance.
Let's do it!
Let's watch Flashdance, everybody!
What a feeling.
So that was Flashdance. We're just Steel Town girls on a Saturday night.
Literally.
Quite literally. Yeah. Watching a story about erotic shellfish consumption. That was fun again.
I said right after, I was like, I feel like that was the best. I know I picked it. And right. I mean, I picked it reluctantly and on the fly. But honestly, that felt like the best possible draw we could get for a Steel Town on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when we landed on it, I was like, I had a moment of like, all right, Flashdance, you know, the Flashdance things.
Yeah.
But then it's going and I'm like, this is nice. This is a fun time.
And it was brief.
And it was 95 minutes long.
To the great relief of our hosts,
Rowhouse. Who are not at all overwhelmed by what happened here. I had visceral reactions to Jeannie falling on the ice. I've seen this movie before. I understand that I'm watching a film. And yet I'm sitting there going, oh no.
It was a little heartbreaking because she wanted it so bad, and we all wanted it so bad for her, and her dad was not very supportive, but he was getting into it.
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh yes, finally, Dad, he gets it, and then she broke down and fell, and he's like, oh, what are you going to do?
This movie doesn't have plot threads. It has bits of plot string.
It's like vignettes.
Really?
Yes.
One scene to establish that her dad is a jerk. And now he's come around. That's it. There's point A to B, and that's the end of the trail.
Then she just hits rock bottom and goes full on.
Elsewhere.
Yeah.
But first, let's get to our normal segments. It's time for a 60-second recap. Robin, how qualified do you feel to summarize the events of this film for the podcast listeners?
Very little. I said that I wanted to get on mic that this is actually Drobin Hitchcock. That's Drunk Robin, because I had a couple beers during the movie. Also, visit Beerport.
Yeah, this is a great place for beer.
Cinema, yes. And popcorn for dinner, the title of your column in Pittsburgh Magazine,
movie
right?
Blog.
Yep.
I mean... That's carb-ish.
You're fine. Anyway, so Drobin is going to give you a 60-second recap, and she's looking at the clock. Someone tell me no, or go.
Someone tell me no.
I know, that's how I feel.
And go.
Okay, so Jennifer Beals' character, which I think is named Alex, she is a welder by day and a erotic dancer by night, and her boss at her welding plant in Pittsburgh, where we are right now recording.
Aim it that way.
he sees her and then hits on her at work, which is just okay because it's 1981. And they have some vignettes, and her friend fails at her ice dancing thing. She gets intimidated out of dancing for some kind of fancy, not quite ballet, but just official fancy dance repertory.
Yeah.
And, you know, time passes. She takes her bra off under her shirt, as we discussed. And then she gets to audition in front of this fancy dance repertory. Oh, there's also, you know, like regular conflict between her and her boss. None of which is about sexual harassment in the workplace.
No, not a scrap
of
it.
Maybe like 14 seconds committed to that inappropriate angle of their relationship. But anyway, she dances to the theme song, Oscar-winning spoilers. And they cut out on her kissing her boss / boyfriend.
The 84-second recap, everybody. Yes.
That's 60 seconds in drop-in time.
Yeah. No, that covered most of it. There's a comedian.
Yes, as Sean mentioned. And by the way, that was a really good summary of that storyline.
Yeah.
Can we talk for a second? I guess we're transitioning into talking, right?
Sure.
This venue. So there's two venues.
Mobby's Bar?
So there's Mobby's Bar, where they do avant-garde erotic dance.
You know what? I'm kind of here for it.
Me too.
Oh, no. I would love if this existed. It doesn't and never has, like, but I would love if it did.
Yeah, somewhere between a strip club and burlesque.
Plus burgers.
Right.
And stand-up comedy.
Okay, this is the first thing I want to ask the crowd, and anyone can answer if you walk up here. Can anyone speak to mid-80s Pittsburgh nightlife?
Like that.
Former guest of the show.
Bill, tell us what it was like.
Well, there were nightclubs and so forth, but there was none of that. There's the strip clubs on Liberty Avenue, which was where Arcade is now.
Right.
Used to be a strip club. And there were, like Pegasus was a gay bar, where there was great dancing.
Yes.
He says, with no experience whatsoever.
Been there. It was dope.
But that was it. You know, and if you wanted nightlife, you went out in the suburbs and places like that.
So really?
It was not. Yeah, like Under 21 was Jet, I think it was the name.
Oh,
was.
Yeah.
I've heard of Jet.
Yes.
Yeah. And then after that, you had Upstage in Oakland and Metropole, you know.
Was there ever, I know there was a time when burlesque and comedy shared the stage in
like
more
the
like
30s?
Yeah. is this a 30s style entertainment,
I guess, so
applied to the 80s?
I'm thinking, yeah.
But there was none of that going on in Pittsburgh in 1980. Good. Have a glass onion pin. There you go.
Thank you so much, former guest Bill Fisher. I mean, I was genuinely impressed with the artistry of the erotic dancing at Mobry's Bar. Like,
yeah.
I hope no one here is photosensitive.
Yeah, we're sorry. Hope you're all comfortable with strobe effects.
But that
casual nudity. We didn't vet everything in the
film. But the strobe effect dance was genuinely awesome.
That was great.
Yeah.
I do have questions about some of the, like, choices of the costume choices. Just like, you come out, it's like, yeah, you know what this needs? A catcher's mitt. I'm going to start this dance off with a catcher's mitt.
I thought she was going to be some kind of baseball robot. And then, no, she was just angry? What was that theming?
She was a man catcher or something. Okay. Or not, was it catcher?
It was slow, but also captivating, like baseball.
What was that?
Man,
oh, a man hunter.
Yes, that's right.
But not a man eater. We did not have that song on the soundtrack.
Yes. I mean, she was like, the moves were great. Like, I love everything. Like, her choreography was awesome, but it was just some of the choices were.
Also, it's just interesting to me as someone who works in live theater to be like, so they set up that grid. They were like, time for a one-off background for this erotic dancer.
I am going to try, ordinarily on the show, I prepare notes about the movie and when it came out and such, but we didn't know what movie we were talking about. I can tell you that Flashdance was released April 15th, 1983.
Three, okay.
Yeah, that is slightly earlier than I thought.
Later than I thought.
Can you hold this in front of my face?
Sure.
Thank you so much. It did not win that first weekend. Its opening weekend, the number one movie in America, was Lone Wolf McQuade.
Ah, one of the ones that's on our list where I'm always like, I hope we land on that at some point.
What's Lone Wolf McQuade?
Anybody?
Okay.
So, I want to say it's like Tom Selleck and or Chuck Norris.
After helping the local police with some horse thieves, a Texas Ranger aims at a drug lord with arms trade as well. Chuck Norris and David Carradine. Oh,
all
right, I'd watch
there
that.
There we go.
I would watch that. Flashdance went to number one. Its following weekend, the reign of Lone Wolf McQuade was short. Flashdance won its third weekend, holding off the debuting Something Wicked This Way Comes and Valley Girl. Won its fourth weekend, holding off Dr. Detroit.
What?
Fell to third place in its fifth weekend, behind Blue Thunder and Breathless. Total domestic...
What and what?
Yeah. Okay. You know, movies that do not have this kind of cultural impact. $92.9 million domestic.
That sounds like a lot for 83.
That is a big hit for 1983. Robin, you know about the Oscars, so say that.
So I'm 99% sure this won Best Original Song for Flashdance, dot, 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 What a Feeling.
R.I.P. Irene Cara.
Irene Cara, who we just lost this year.
Yes.
Flashdance was the number three film of 1983.
Wow.
Behind only Return of the Jedi and Terms of Endearment. Flashdance.
Back to the time when Best Picture winners were also box office stars.
Yeah, that is...
Gone.
This is only going to go so well with me reading off of a laptop in front of a room full of people, so we'll keep it brief. I will not go too far into the IMDb trivia, except for this, because it's too good. Jennifer Beals' trend-setting collarless sweatshirt came about by accident.
What?
The sweatshirt, which Beals brought from home... had shrunk in the wash, and she had to cut the collar off in order to get it over her head when director Adrian Lin and costume designer Michael Kaplan saw it at the wardrobe fitting. They loved it, and Kaplan improved the overall look of the sweatshirt for the actual shoot.
I do want to say friend of the show, Ellen Kiley, told me right beforehand that fashion from this movie was inescapable.
I'm sure.
Yes.
Like, I feel this movie's the reason why ripped jeans are a thing.
And also that ridiculously high-cut leotard underwear situation, which, honestly, let's bring back.
The high-hip bikini?
Yes.
I wanted to note that the song Maniac, big old hit that it was.
Was that also nominated?
I'll check that in a second. This was composed by Michael Cimbella after he saw a news report about a serial killer.
What?
And immediately jotted down the lyrics that came to mind. He's a maniac. He just moved in next door. He'll kill your cat and nail it to the floor.
That got rewritten, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I want it. I want that song.
And then was fleshed out. Mary Beth mentioned this. Was fleshed out after they saw the film Maniac, the grungy early 80s slasher movie, proto-slasher, in New York. They were like, yeah, like that. We'll call it Maniac and finish that song. Obviously, extensively rewritten. And while we're being killjoys, that wasn't Jennifer Beals dancing.
No, absolutely not.
It was very clear, at least to me.
Yeah, I had my glasses on. I could see.
And honestly, mostly because that wig... was a wig. And Jennifer Beals making me once again really want a perm.
Great hair. Adrian Lin is the director, by the way.
Which I did not know. And when he popped up in the credits, I was like, okay.
Adrian Lin is a specialist in
erotic thrillers.
Erotic thrillers. Oh. The director of Flashdance.
Bring back the erotic thriller.
I know.
Please.
Well, he tried.
Well, exactly. With Dark Water this year.
He did Flashdance, 9.5 Weeks, Fatal Attraction, Indecent Proposal, the 1997 Lolita. He did Deep Water a year ago with Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas.
Yes.
Didn't work.
No. It worked for me.
We're all very happy for you. This... final fact, again, we're just riffing this. Adrian Lin, not the first choice.
Huh.
David Cronenberg turned down an offer.
Wait a second. Hold on. What would have happened during that initial dance other than pulling that string and letting water fall down on you?
Intestines.
Just when we say the dancer becomes the dance, the dancer becomes... as had Brian De Palma, who chose to direct Scarface instead.
Which honestly seems like a great choice. Wow. I feel like everything worked out great.
Yeah. I have a question. What is a flash dance?
I have no answer for that.
Well, you see, she was dancing and then the light flashed. Uh-huh. It's a flash dance. That's the appropriate response. I want to go to the crowd. Reactions, questions, thoughts. If you've seen this a million times, if you've seen this for the first time tonight, who would like to contribute? Come on up.
Yeah, please don't be shy. We will cut out you walking up.
and another recent guest of the show.
So I said this to Robin between...
You're Jim Kiley.
Hi, I'm Jim. Between the show, between the movie and now, I said this to Robin. My dude, she's 18.
Aye.
What the fuck?
Thank you!
Okay.
And your employee.
Right. Oh, yeah, also that. That's all. I just wanted to mention that.
All right. It's here. Have a glass onion pin. It's... If we push a lot aside, I think it's a very romantic film. Let's
like the stocking.
Let's
like,
not put like now. Let's like not the, push that aside HR. For a minute. It's hard to get past all of that, isn't it?
It's so difficult, especially because she looks so young. Like, I mean, bless her heart, and she also acts so young. Like everything is just this wide eyed, and I don't know how she was. If that's the director's way was telling her to play it, but everything is wide eyed, and oh my god, what's this? And you know, with the plane, with his jewelry, and all that business. It's like, this is apparent that this is a child, and I need you to get your dick out of her. Let's stop it. So it's difficult. He took a lot of liberties with her dog, too, like after the fact, too. Like, just, you know, why does he have so much access to her dog when she's not around? And they had broken up.
That was weird to me.
Yeah. It's...
So tell me how romantic again?
Because when they're happy, they look real cute together. No,
you are in just such a sappy mood these past few months.
I know. No, it's I appreciate the visual love story that's being told. When he knows how to shoot a romantic scene. All you have to do is not think of any of the implications of what's being presented. I don't know. Who saw this? Is there anyone here who saw this like on release or close to release?
Oh, this lady
back
here.
Come on up if you like. We're no pressure.
Hi, thank you. What is your name?
Jill.
Hi, Jill. Thank you so much. Tell us about the first time you saw this film.
Yeah. So I was 10.
Oh, wow.
My parents are very progressive, yes. And, basically spent the entire summer learning to take my bra off under my shirt. Yeah.
At 10, were you like, ah, what a romance, or were you into the dancing?
At 10, I was into the dancing. I was into the leg warmers.
Sure. Thank you. Have a glass onion pin. I think that's Benoit Blanc. No, or is that Edward Norton? They're very hard to tell who's who on these pins.
Benoit Blanc.
The montages, though. There is no transition between the workout montage and the breakdancing montage. None at all.
There's like 18 different montages. You were right. You did not undersell that, the montage situation. And who is this movie targeted towards?
For the listeners at home, someone said pedophiles.
I'm pretty sure that person was Dan.
Okay.
But it's just like the shots of everything, of the dancing. Like, it's not dancers that this movie is made for.
No.
I think it is for Steel Town Girls on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is one of the early Just Vibes movies. Honestly, yeah, it's. I mean, early on, I was like, if you cut the music out of this, this movie would be 24 minutes long. Then it started going toward the plot, and I was like... This was more fun when nothing was happening.
Yeah.
When it was just dance sequence, montage, 1 minute of it's welding. Then we're having a good time.
I think the real winners of this movie were Irene Cara.
Yes.
And whoever Jennifer Beals' dance double was.
Yes, like, and she killed it.
Yeah. Because that's when I actually, the last, you know, the audition scene, that's when I really started to like, okay, I'm feeling something. Like,
right
I'm into
before
it now.
It ends.
It's like, yes, exactly.
Right before it ends.
Exactly. And it also made me remember of, it reminded me of the Paula Abdul video, where she gives a nod to this that whole scene.
Which one is
Cold
that?
Cold Hearted Snake.
Oh, okay. Great
really?
Song.
Nobody else remembers that video. There it is.
Hey,
thanks, Polly.
Thank you so much. I mostly remember, obviously, her and DJ Scat Cat.
Clearly.
In Opposites Attract, and also her and Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
And Rush Rush.
This isn't what I was looking for, but I found it anyway. Nominated for 4 Oscars.
Wait, okay, so I think, yes, I do think Maniac, yes?
Both Maniac and Flashdance, What a Feeling were nominated.
And I'm going to say Sound.
No.
Oh, shit. Then do they have a song score for this one?
No. Any guesses from the crowd? No, surprisingly not.
Bicyclography.
What?
What?
All the
bicycle work. Oh. The answer was bicyclography, which...
Which I did. I was questioning, like, how many times did they make Jennifer ride up that hill?
A lot.
This was written not natively, because no one can have a bicycle as their primary means of transportation. No, nominated for Best Cinematography and
really?
Best Film Editing. If you make that many montages.
That's fair. And cinematography-wise, listen, some of those avant-garde erotic dance scenes, yes.
Yeah, I get it.
No, I was trying to find about... the success of the soundtrack. The soundtrack also was the number one album in America.
Yay!
Was the Flashdance soundtrack. Number 9 in the UK, number 1 in Australia. Number 20 on the Billboard 200 for the year. Big hit. We have it at home. It's great. You can put it on anytime. Not anytime. Not like sleepy time, because you'll be up and dancing.
Oh. I want to go back to the crowd. Thoughts, questions.
You're next. All right, we have Ellen Kiley here. Your last name's Kiley, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, Ellen Kiley is here. Let us hear your thoughts.
All right, so I saw this back when it came out, and I don't know how I did, because I'm a preacher's kid, and I have no idea how that flew. I must have snuck out of the house or something. I have no idea. I remember it in my memory, it being pretty sexy, but now I'm watching it, and I just think everything is jerky.
Everything
like, the
is
dancing
jerky.
Is jerky. Even
yes.
The kissing was jerky.
The like, lobster eating. Was weird.
Well, that was actually the smoothest part of the whole thing.
It was weird.
Yeah,
though.
It just seemed was very.
I mean,
very
really,
jerky.
I mean, there's people out here that get turned on by the succulence of buttered lobster. Is that a thing? Is that a kink?
I think so.
Now.
Thank you, Ellen.
This gentleman also had.
I thought those were oysters, and I also thought.
That was hunks of lobster.
Okay, and I genuinely thought that scene was super sexy. Also, I thought it was filmed at the Grand Concourse where I got married, but Mary Beth, Sean's partner, was like, oh, everything other than exteriors was filmed in L.A., so...
A lot of this was filmed in L.A., unfortunately, because we would go to the bar right now, but that does not exist.
Okay.
We have another guest.
Yes, hello, what's your name?
I'm Chris. Okay, so... I'm going to say something that I think is kind of a downer about the film, but then I also have something I want to ask about it. But essentially, like, as I watched it, and this was my second time watching it, with the exception of seeing PPG Place going up, most of Pittsburgh is really gritty in it.
Yeah.
And I picked up kind of an underlying sadness, both between, you know, the town's kind of worn out, like, they're clearly, like, making something or building something, but it's in this sort of, like, abandonment kind of thing. And then you also pick up on the fact that, like, everybody, all of her friends all have their own talent and skills, but she only gets somewhere because she knows somebody. And so I think there's sort of a sadness there. Question, though, is how much would her apartment rent for in Pittsburgh in 2023, especially since it has a Wood Street address? So she's got this like massive downtown apartment that she just knows somebody, and it used to be a warehouse.
Thank you, Chris. Unused office space. They converted it and couldn't get a test.
She would have had to have been taken off a lot more than what she was taken off at her current job to afford.
Speaking of, all right, I do want to address this as well while my brother's on the way up here. What is up with the strip club thing?
Like, what do you mean?
Her friend finds a new job,
yeah,
and she goes and moralizes and yanks her naked out onto the street.
It's a very
anti-sex work film.
I think it was more about the dude that was in charge of.
I know
of
we don't
club.
Like him, but.
Okay, I'm sure in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, you can do whatever kind of sexy dancing you want as long as you don't show nipples. And then, if you do show nipples, there are all kinds of rules, like you can't serve food there, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So, this was her being like, how dare you show your nipples?
That actually is my biggest problem with the movie, is this weird line between, okay, we do tasteful erotic dancing.
Yes.
If you take one further step, you're debasing yourself. That's my biggest problem with the film.
It was an unnecessary plot point.
Yeah, it's dumb. Yeah.
Okay.
This is one of those movies that appears pro-sex work and is anti-sex work. See also Pretty Woman.
Yes.
And basically every movie featuring sex workers prior to 2010.
That's 2020, probably. Andy, I ran out of glass onion pins.
Andy, your brother.
Yes. Hello. Well, what got me up here was actually an unrelated Google search by our mother that yielded the result, Jennifer Beals Flashdance double was a 16-year-old boy.
What? Stop
it! For those in the back, Jennifer Beals dance double was a 16-year-old boy.
What? What?
There were several. I think one was for... One was for the majority of the dancing where it had to visibly not be a 16-year-old boy. One was for the really acrobatic stuff, and one was for some of the break dancing, and the acrobatic stuff was a 16-year-old boy.
Okay.
Yeah. So whose ass were we looking at for so long at the beginning?
A gentleman who is now a stockbroker named Chad.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, Andy.
You are very welcome.
Let's rate it. Well, yeah. We've been kind of hard on Flashdance. I just want to give the opportunity.
I've got a high rating.
I've got a high rating, too. Yeah. Is there anyone really who's like, you're being unfair. This movie's brilliant. Oh, here comes Mary Beth.
Yay, Mary Beth! All right.
See, she's going to answer when you asked me earlier, why did you like this? Here's my conscience to tell you.
Well, I think as a native Pittsburgher, it's only fair to give this movie 5 stars out of 5. Yes. It's a requirement. Yes. And also, you mentioned a lot of movies that it was up against in the box office, and none of us knew what you were talking about.
Right, good point.
This movie, pop culture references. Here we go. One, Joey Tribbiani on Friends mentioned the scene where Jennifer Beals takes her bra and says it's a good move for a lady.
Yes. It is. He's and right.
Number two, Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, the movie. She does a Flashdance-esque dance at the movie theater where she's performing her show. Unfortunately, she ends up being tarred and feathered. But she mentions the movie Flashdance. Three, anyone see The Internship? How many times have they mentioned Flashdance? At least 15. Boom! 5 stars.
Wow. Thank you, Mary Beth.
Thank you for not dropping the mic, but I appreciate the enthusiasm. Also, I'm not a Pittsburgh native.
Right.
So
you're allowed.
it's gonna flux.
Robin, wouldn't you?
I was going to say, I want to shout out supporting cast. I want to talk about Lilia Scala, and I tried to look up how to pronounce her name, and nothing came up.
Which one?
The Hannah, her auntie figure, Academy Award nominee. I thought it was really nice. I thought I liked her. And then also, that was Robert Wool in the bad stand-up scene, yeah? Yep. Arliss.
Oh, yeah.
And from Batman, yeah. Okay, thank you, whoever in the back said yes. That. Thank you so much, yeah. So anyway,
also, Hannah looked like she led a really interesting life. I wanted to see her story.
Yeah. Yes.
She died.
I do want to thank the audience.
So harsh.
I want to thank the audience for laughing along with us. Right. I know all three of us were laughing out loud. Thank you for laughing at some of the goofy parts of this movie, including where is she? She died yesterday. Yes.
And then she's gone. It's like, okay. Yeah.
Who are you? Why are you here? Is this a duplex? You can visit it. It's of the locations in this movie, other than the incline itself, nothing is less changed than that building. Wow. It's on the south side. It's like Sydney and maybe 20th. Like it looks exactly the same to this day.
All right, let's rate this.
Let's rate it. I was going to say 69, but that felt too on the nose.
Nice.
68. Robin.
I'm going to say 75. I'm feeling warm. Obviously, as I said, I'm dropping. And also, we had a sold-out crowd for our show. And Pittsburgh, and yay, 75.
And as I say sometimes, and now for a lower number, here's Camila.
I was really trying to figure out like how this movie made me feel about me. No, I'm not. 65.
Oh, right. This happens on the show a lot too, where
Camila is 10 lower than one of us.
Well, yeah, that. But where Camila is deeply skeptical the entire time, to the point where I think she's about to say 30. And she's basically gives the same score we did.
It has to be Tyler Perry involved for me to go 30.
I hope that never happens to us.
The average score is 69.
Hey, that's nice.
For this sexy, sexy lobster-eating movie, 69 and a third, to be precise.
Would this be the sexiest movie we've done in a while?
Yeah, I feel like yes, what? But I want to have to look at our list. I'm not sure.
We vetoed one of the 50 Shades because Robin and I had already seen it
and
together.
And did a podcast about it.
Enough.
There's only so much to say.
Yes.
The last thing we do on the show is try to get somebody to name one of. I try to get one of them to name.
Well, wait. Just pause because our next episode is going to be from our. Listener's choice poll.
Yes. Ordinarily, we would draw. Right. If you're, there was a reason why we had a big wheel. We draw the next movie at random. At the end of every show, we draw a movie from a big, almost irritatingly maintained list of every number one movie going back to the 50s. We draw a movie at random. So that's why we did it that way tonight. In this particular case, for reasons, we had a listener's poll, and the winner was
9 to 5.
We will be covering 9 to 5 next time, which was exciting. Playing when we walked in here tonight. That was nice.
Oh, wow.
So, if you're
the song, not the film.
The song, not the film. Yeah. Was playing. If you haven't, please subscribe to the show. Like we said, it's available everywhere.
And if you haven't, come to Row House.
Come to Row House. It's great all the time. After this, as you're hearing this episode. Depends on when we release it. It might still be our week. But
I think it's going to be this week.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you're hearing this soon after it comes out, come see Get Out, Speed, right. Raiders of the Lost Ark, Silence of the Lambs, four of our favorites from the show are playing all week long. After that, they're doing vintage political thrillers.
Yes.
A bunch
of movies I've never seen, which is hard to do.
I swore it was going to be the Parallax View. It's not the Parallax View. And then we're going into the Oscar-nominated shorts. If you, Robin,
including My Year of Dicks,
My Year of Dicks, nominated for best animated feature,
animated short,
best animated short. You do this
and
every
also,
year.
The ostrich told me the world was fake, and I think I believe him.
Those are two real shorts.
I'm not 100% sure I got that second title right, but anyway, go see the shorts. It's honestly, I do it every year because I do the Oscars death race. I watch the shorts every year, and it's so great. Please do it. And thank you, Row House, for making that possible.
Yeah.
Yes.
So come to Row House. Listen to our show. I think that covers it.
Yes, so let's do the number All one right. song in America.
As we discussed, Flashdance came out April, whatever I said, 18th, 13th?
Sure.
15th, thank you. But didn't go to number one until the following weekend. April 29th to May 1st was its first weekend at number one. That weekend, what was the number one song in America? Raise your hand. Not one of you.
I even want to see your screen.
I know, but we're going to the crowd. April 29th to May 1st of 1983, what was the number one song in America?
I'm gonna guess The Reflex.
Ooh.
Good guess. I think that's a little early.
The guess, by the way, was The Reflex.
The Reflex.
Thank you.
Good thought.
I appreciate the vibes.
We got a guess of Take On Me.
I think Take On Me is 84.
I have no idea.
Sounds about right. Can we guess now?
Yeah.
Carmen Chameleon.
That's a good one.
Good guess, no.
Was teased about my name.
One last guess, and then I'm opening it up to these two. Angel of the Morning, good guess, not it. Robin or Camila?
Total Eclipse of the Heart.
No.
Spandau Ballet. Oh, sorry.
Spandau Ballet.
No.
How about Genesis?
No.
Either of the members of Genesis.
Not those either.
Hall & Oates.
Hall & Oates were the first number one of the year with Maneater, but no, not quite.
No, it's not.
This is not a small hit. This is a big
1983.
Hit. Michael Jackson was called out from the crowd. Is that correct?
With
Say
Paul McCartney?
No.
The Girl Is Mine?
Beat It is correct. It was Beat It.
Oh, when you said with, I thought you meant with another artist. But thank you, whoever shouted out Beat It in the crowd.
When
Why
Flash...
did I not think of... Michael Jackson never crossed my mind.
Yeah,
because you think of Thriller as later than it is. You think of Thriller as like an 84, 85 thing, but no, 83.
No, I was way too young to have watched
that. Already, Billie Jean had been number one for 7 weeks. There was one glorious week where Come On, Eileen... overtook it.
Thank you.
Then Beat It for 3 weeks. Then Let's Dance for 1 week. Let's Dance by David Bowie. And then a 7 week reign for Flashdance. What a feeling. All right. And this has been the Irene Cara Memorial Show.
At
rest in peace.
Bless her heart.
Wait, how do we end the show?
We make jokes about the song that won, but let's end the show by thanking thing. Our live
let's
audience.
Let's just say thanks for being here. Give it up one more time for yourselves.